Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is Kestcast's Questcast. Today we don't have Caitlin with us, but we've got my friend Inferno Panda, or Chris Stone, whatever he wants to go as.
Hi. Well, I guess I can go by both now you've already introduced me.
Hi, Chris Inferno Panda Doan.
Yeah, one of those.
I couldn't say that again as perfectly as I did if I tried, by the way.
That saying perfect? Huh? Okay.
Well, like I said, what I wanted to by splitting up the two things in the way that wanted to. And I was just like, if I, like, normally when I try that stuff, I'm just like, oh, and then it doesn't come out the way you want. You're like, you know what I meant.
Yeah, but, one of those. One of those which ways to say those things and stuff.
Yep. Well, this week, I guess a lot of stuff happened in the gaming world. The first thing that we've got to talk about today...
Ocarina of Time hasn't been re-released on Switch yet, so not everything has happened that I wanted to happen.
Would I want that? Like...
It would make me buy a Switch. Like, I know I should buy one anyway, but I would definitely, like... I'd be, like, first in line to buy yet another Ocarina of Time remake.
Fair enough. I mean, I enjoy it as it is. It doesn't need to be bigger and better. But it being portable would be nice.
Yeah, and like bigger screen for me. Like being able to dock it and play it back on a TV in the 3D version rather than having to play it on a 3DS would be pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, to start off with, we have a lovely update from BioWare. Apparently, they're promising to do better.
Does that mean they're going to make Knights of the Old Republic 3? For us, because that would be fantastic.
I wish they would. Well, I don't think they ever will, because are they still doing the MMO?
Yeah, the MMO is still around. I don't know if there's new content and stuff. Did BioWare even make that? Like, was that
the Yeah, thing? Yeah, BioWare, like the actual studio BioWare did that.
Ooh.
I don't know if it got moved or someone else is doing it now. Or like they have like they split off the devs that were doing the MMO.
Maybe. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I don't look into it that much. But
I do hate that on the second paragraph he talks about Star Wars Knights of the Republic. And yet, because he's notably the producer-director of it, but like, okay. Anyway, you explain what this is about.
Yeah, so Casey Hudson from BioWare says that they're going to do much better because basically Andromeda was shit and they couldn't do DLC for it because who would buy it? And Anthem's going to be better, and they're going to not put as much shit in it. And actually,
what kind of DLC are they going to try and sell? Something that fixes all the glitches and bugs and shit?
Yeah, I don't know. It was
Mass Effect Andromeda, the working edition, an extra $4.99.
Yeah, it's called Day One DLC.
Yes,
but I don't think they're gonna. I mean, they'll do better quality-wise for Anthem, but it's going to be terrible as... I mean, they've got to find something else besides loot boxes to take people's money now that they're going to be illegal everywhere, basically.
Well, hopefully. Yeah.
But it'll still lock half the game behind stuff.
I have to take me back because I never bought it because I realized immediately that it was shit before I had an opportunity. But
I think three people
bought it.
Did that
try to do loot boxes? Yeah.
I actually don't know. Like, I just...
We should like, know.
All I know about the game is that it was horrible quality, and if it had loot boxes, they probably didn't work.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't. I feel like it didn't. But maybe it had some... I don't know, DLC. I don't know. Don't know enough about it. Now I feel like I shouldn't be talking about it because I'm a noob. But there you go.
It's all part of the game. So I guess that's that. We'll move on to our next topic. So games that are coming out and stuff. Have you seen State of Mind before?
I have not, but I did watch that trailer, and you know what? It looks pretty good. I did a bit of looking up for some mentions of it, and you know there was one from a couple of years ago, probably when it was really early days, and something saying it wasn't really appealing, but. I don't know what to think of it.
I think that, like, they're trying to go for the whole every action you do, Matt, like, all RPGs are going. But I think
so, like, you know, you can like, you know, kill someone at the beginning and they're not there and you just ruin the best story or some crap.
I don't think they're trying to do it in a way where they, like, every person you kill has an effect on the main story though.
Okay.
Which I think can be better. Because
so, I mean, the main story will be on rails like any old story.
Well, it might not be on rails, but it might. I don't
might
think.
Might be a bit more structured. And yeah. I guess. Because, I mean, the worst thing is when you know. It's like, there's one thing that I remember Mass Effect being built for is, you know, you can, like, turn away this. You know, someone will approach you in a bar and, you know, you'll turn them away and they won't come back. And then you find out later on that when you actually play the game that was, like, one time and that was it. But, pretty much. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Obviously more flexibility with the, I guess, side content and everything.
Yeah, game actually looks, I really like the art style for it as well. It's kind of
like that it's supposedly coming out on Linux. Like, I do like the whole cross-play, you know, building for not just Windows, which, you know, obviously I understand that's usually a lot easier just to build for, you know, major platforms, but I do like to see Linux get a mention from time to time.
I think it's hard because DirectX.
Well, yes. Yes.
So, but, like, if...
But like, OpenGL.
OpenGL is fine, and it works for, you know, 9 out of 10 games, but when...
But for your, like, super-powered, this is fantastic stuff, it's...
Yeah, really, like, for your Unreal games and stuff, like, it's hard for them to probably get it working in... like Direct3D. I don't know. I think they're still using Direct3D, but that probably. And OpenGL, like, that's a lot of overhead. Like, Unity does it. So I imagine Unreal might, but...
Maybe.
I see a lot of games not doing it.
But yeah, but I mean... That's
more games are doing it now than they were, though.
Yeah. Which is good. But yeah, I guess from the teaser, I haven't really seen a lot about it. Like, obviously, there was a bit of a walking around. It looks like it was probably in-game, like, just in-game, I guess, graphics. But yeah, I don't know. It should be interesting. I saw that it's a potential due August 2018, at least on the Steam store. Do you know if there's any, like, previews or, like, gameplay content out there?
Not that I've seen. They'd only got announced this week.
I looked online. I didn't actually look on YouTube, which is usually, you know, you go to for videos and stuff.
Yeah, it only came out, or, like, it only got announced this week, so.
Oh, did it? Oh, well, I definitely saw an, unless, to be fair, I mean,
trailer only got announced this week.
So, the trailer. Yeah, yeah, okay. So it's in its current state. It just got announced, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
So I think this is kind of like this is going to be their media push from now.
Yeah, cool. Well, hopefully it builds up and turns out to be something decent. Try and get a review copy. No, but maybe do a review. That'll be fun.
I'd love
Won't
to.
Won't it?
All right.
I want to see the cast of it.
Cast would probably play it because I would love to do that. But I would also love to play this, Graveyard Keeper. I saw this one and I was just like,
I watched this and... That, like, it is the graveyard simulator that I didn't want. No, I wanted, but I want it. It looks cool. And, like, how I had to add the logo to this prep sheet. How cool does it look? He's just got his thumbs up. It's just so cool.
I'm going to put a link to it in the description of this podcast. But, yeah, so Graveyard Keeper is essentially Stardew Valley if you are running a graveyard.
Yeah, I'd say maybe a mix. Dare I say, like, a mix. It's probably, I don't know, it looked a little bit more involved than Stardew Valley in terms of...
Well, the developer, Lazy Bear Games, I think they said it's basically a cemetery management sim.
Mm.
It's kind of like... It's basically you run a business because you can try and, from what the guy said in the interview that I saw or read, you can sort of make back shady deals with other people to get more corpses or to sell your corpses instead of burying them.
Would you say it's got any resemblance to Prison Architect and maybe RimWorld? Although I haven't played RimWorld, but, you know, that sort of thing. But obviously not quite as advanced, and obviously you have a protagonist or a player that you run around as, which definitely has that resemblance and art style of Stardew Valley. But from a management point of view, do you think it's kind of a bit of a a hybrid kind of Stardew Valley style with a bit of, I guess, maybe prison architect management?
I wouldn't say so. Like, it's very... You're not managing a bunch of people. You're one person managing...
One dude digging graves.
The UI looks very Stardew Valley sort of management.
It'd be really interesting. Was there a release date on this one?
Not that I could see. It arrives on PC and Xbox One later this year. In the meantime, you can go to their blog.
I'd really like to see some more gameplay footage. I mean, obviously...
It looked really good as well, actually. Yeah. Like, I really loved the aesthetic, especially at nighttime. Like, during the day, I was like, oh, you know, cool sprite work graphics. But during night, I think the game really came out to shine.
Well, look forward to seeing it. And from Lazy Bear Games, have they made anything else of note?
I can quickly look it up. I don't think so. I've never heard of them if they have. Lazy Bear Games. They might have, like, you know... Well, they're from Russia, apparently. Punch Club and Punch Club 2 on iOS. So, nothing I ever would have played ever. But Punch Club does sound fun.
You're like, what's an Apple?
iOS, Android.
They need to update their website. In development, release 2017. Come, guys.
Wow. Yeah, their first game is not... Doesn't... Punch Club's apparently a strategy tycoon sim. Oh, so you manage like a boxing club. Okay, that makes more sense. From the video, I thought you like were just some fighter, but maybe it's not terrible. Wow, two missing links on there in their awards. Of all places.
Well, let's just hope they put more effort into their game rather
than these two awards website. Are missing.
Well, not everybody's a web developer, Kieran.
It's true. We can't all be...
You are. I mean, maybe you could offer your services a bit.
I guess I am. I mean, I do it as a daytime
job. Check out Graveyard Keeper. I got to say, contender for best logo of 2018. Must be said.
It is. It's that skeleton. It's just a skeleton giving his thumbs up. Like, I don't give a crap.
Would you buy a home loan if that had our name on it?
Would I get a home loan
if it had that face on it? I think that should be the new
mascot. I mean, I already have a house loan and I'm super in debt, but would I have gotten it through a different company if they had Scale Logo? I probably would, actually. I'd probably be like, I'd probably think, oh, they don't take themselves seriously. This is my kind of home loan. And, you know, then they'd be like 30% interest rate.
Woo! Yeah. But, you know, for the sake of the logo, I mean, if you got that logo on your mortgage documents, like, fuck yes. That's all that matters.
It'd be weird. You'd be like imagine if you were like, you know, married and you're like the man of the house or whatever, and like you go do everything off yourself and your little wife just has to sit at home, and then she gets this in the mail. She's like, well, why are you applying to a death cult?
Well, maybe they give you a serious rate, like a good competitive rate, if the stipulation is you need to have
Would the rate be to die for?
In your backyard. What?
Would the rate be to die for?
Bad pun alert. Bad pun.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Anyway, I think we go to the next one.
As far as they go, though, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. So
tell me about Fate Grand.
Well, Fate Grand Order. So I really, really love the anime for this. So, and like heaps of people.
Is it an anime, is it?
Yeah, the Fate series. There's Fate Zero, Fate Grand Order, Fate Apocalypse.
Should have assumed by the Madman link.
Yeah, that's a good hint.
Worldwide mobile gaming phenomenon, Fate Grand Order launches in Australia.
It does, but I installed it on my phone. And it doesn't open. It says your phone is not compatible. Or actually, hold on. I can get the error now.
Whoops.
So, like, as much like I thought I'd mention it because I was just like, you know, this big thing comes
like
anime, out.
You like mobiles.
Yeah. And it's error, right? When I open it, it errors. And it's like, open an email provider. I'm like, why would I do that?
Maybe this is all a big hoax and that's actually malware. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, no, it opens the email and it goes to support@fakego.us. Fake granddaughter is not playable under your playing environment. Please contact us via email and we will give you an information about the data migration to the sender's email address. No, I'm good.
Well, I mean, just looking at the video, like, I've not been big on mobile games, right?
I know, same.
I'm just not a fan. Like, I want to, right? I've always loved the idea of sitting on the bus or sitting at a bus stop or whatever, passenger of a car, whatever, and you know, playing games on my phone. And it's not about battery life and it's not about performance or anything like that. I just don't enjoy it. Like,
the games are really different compared to games that I like.
Well, I guess, yeah, it just has to be different, right?
Because the only ones I've ever gotten into, there was a strategy game where you were kind of these cells that divided and you tried to take over other things. Yeah. And some tycoon ones work really well because you don't have to be quick reflexes and stuff.
Yeah, those sort of like, I guess, shitty, copy-paste management games are usually okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. 90% of them are the copy-paste ones and I hate them because like their depth is like...
the same game.
Yeah, it's terrible. But there are some that like... are playable because Game Dev Tycoon's on mobile and that's fun.
Is it really?
Yeah, or you can play it on tablets at least. I haven't played it on mobile, but that would be the type of thing I would.
And I guess this is where I admit I'm not a tablet fan really either. At least I got an iPad years ago. I also got a Samsung tablet years ago and the novelty wore off in like 5 minutes. To be honest, like unless you're they're great for kids, I gotta say. I think the best uses of tablets, like iPads, I've seen used by kids. But I guess I'm just not cool enough.
But with them growing up with it, does that make them more accustomed to using it in their everyday life later in life?
Potentially, but I guess
for me, a tablet is like in between the convenience of a phone and the usefulness of a desktop, but I don't need that in between.
I guess for me, yeah, don't need the in between. Like phones are great, but if I need something that I won't do on a phone, the middle ground doesn't cut it. Like I want a laptop. Like if I, you know, primarily when I had a tablet, I'd use a external keyboard, and it's like, well, once you're doing that, you may as well just get a little note.
Yeah,
little,
exactly. You know, the thing I'm using a tablet like. It's not the screen size that I need. It's the ease of, like, I'm not going to type a 2-page document on my phone.
Yeah. Why would you?
To bring that back to gaming, I also like playing with a keyboard and mouse or a controller, not tapping on the screen.
Sorry, I get all too IT.
You do get... Yeah.
Everything turns into business for me. Sorry.
Yeah, Chris is a infrastructure person, so... That's his background, and he also really likes games because we all love games. And if you don't,
everybody loves games.
You make me sad.
Loves games. Yeah, don't be sad. But games are cool.
Moral of the story: I really like the Fate anime series, and I really wanted to play this just because I liked the anime so much, but I couldn't, and I was sad.
Do you know what I need? I need a remake of. There was a Bleach. Original DS game. I remember playing tons of it with some people.
There was a lot of anime games on DS because, you know, Japan.
Well, yeah, and they were all like generic battle games or whatever, but I just remember really, and it was when I was like prime into Bleach in like year 11. About probably year 11. I just remember like, you know, there was someone who even had two DSs at the time. And then, yeah, just there was always four player at lunchtimes playing the Bleach fighting game, which is pretty awesome.
I never got into Bleach's anime. I watched a few episodes, but do you want to pick something from the list next to talk about?
There's a list? Well, you've just ruined the magic of it, Kieran. Obviously, we're just talking off the top of our heads. We just come out with it.
No, I got a list of things that happened this week, man.
I am really interested and really excited about multiplayer in Stardew Valley. Seeing as we're talking about Stardew Valley-esque games like, the old...
Graveyard Keeper.
Graveyard Simulator 2018. Yeah, Graveyard Keeper, don't let me fool you. Now, supposedly, there may be, I guess, beta I assume you can go to Steam if you've got it in Steam, and or good old games, and elect to pre-download the beta, that there might be multiplayer in May. That's what I hear on the download.
Well, I'm on Steam right now, and I've got no install for that. Unless
you don't have...
there's no option for anything else, so it would be betas. Coming out.
But there's always one. Hold on, where's mine? Stargy. I haven't played it in a while. Oh, there it is. No, it's not too old. I played it recently. Properties. Betas. There are no betas. Maybe you need beta access code. No.
You might need a beta
of some description. Maybe it'll be better. So I haven't seen anything to register. But
have you seen anything about the multiplayer? Because I haven't, to be honest.
And I guess there's a lot of speculation. Is it going to be, you all work on the same farm? Are they going to somehow make it where you're all on a different farm? But then the only way I can imagine that really fitting in the world, unless they've drastically changed the world, is maybe it's a case of, just before you try and enter your farm, you get a selection of the people on your server or whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Which would just be too Facebook game, like Farmville-esque for me. You know, where you used to... I don't know if you ever played that, but I did go for a
that being said, that though, like... they could do it kind of like Open TD style, like...
Not separating the same farmland, like designating it out a bit?
Well, either that or they've edited the town and there's like four paths to four different farms.
I guess that's the possibility, but I mean, that would be a quite major change to the game.
I mean, they've been doing it for like a year and a half, so.
Well, this is true, but.
Because four people or so working on the same farm, I don't feel they would have taken a year and a half to do that. That's my thought.
Yeah, well.
Because they got the main game out in like a year and a half. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So if he's been spending, because it's like one guy, if he's been spending this much time on it, I think it's going to be a major change. Or it's not, and we're going to be disappointed, and that would suck.
I would like the option, to be honest, even if they did do separate farms, I would like the option for co-op farm, even if it's just up to two people, because I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't have to blame myself
for a shit farm. I can, blame you.
This will be like your Stellaris games, where you're always the one behind because you take it slow and defensive.
It's how I used to play StarCraft because when I play StarCraft, which fantastic game, love it, played it forever. It's like my first multiplayer game I played when I was quite young.
I miss RTSs like that.
It was good, and when I learned how to the way I play Protoss, and I exclusively play Protoss, I always lose when I play Terrans or Zerg, because I've just spent years just getting a bit of a process in Protoss. A couple of ways is I would either, if I was on my own, I get very defensive with cannons. I do try to rush people with, there was a map, shit, what was it called? Oh, StarCraft.
The only map name I ever remember is Halo's Blood Gulch.
Fastest map possible, was it? Yeah, fastest map possible ever, I think, was the one, and it was like a map where it was the world. It was divided into like eight. It was divided into like eight sections, and but it was like very generic, but like it had all the resources ready to go. So like I always just rush in, get straight to being able to build cannons. I'd like rush my probes out, build pylons behind the person's base once I found out where they were. I just surround with cannons and just distract them, hold them in their own base. Meanwhile, I'm building up as soon as possible, getting carriers and maxing them out with fighters. And then next thing you know, I've got 12 carriers all fully loaded, and I just slowly go around the map and just wipe out everybody. Worked almost all the time. There are a few ways to get out of that trap, but yeah, lots of fun. Sorry, I know, completely off topic. It is about a game this time, though, not about business machines. But, really cool. But I guess the point, I don't know what the point I was trying to make there, but multiplayer, playing, a couple of people on a co-op map would be cool. So please do it, if you're listening. Obviously you would be, because this is the Questcast podcast, of course you're listening. Developers of a game I love.
Yeah, and... I personally would like it if it was the opposite, if it was you could work on different farms and you had to compete for the same resources in town and stuff like that. That'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not competitive. I just want everybody to have a good time, okay?
Well, maybe you could trade between two farms and let the third guy's farm rot and die, and then, you know, he can't provide for his farmer wife, and then, you know, sad times.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe. Who know? Well, you don't know. And to be honest, none of us know at the moment. We've got to wait and find out what he says, hey? And they release.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully be soon. The last blog post was in February, like on their official blog. So I'm really hoping. I don't know whether everything else I've been reading is just speculation or if there's any kind of hints. But, you know, time will tell. I'm a patient man.
Are you?
Patient man. Still waiting for Game of Thrones Season 7.
Everyone's waiting for that. That's going to take a while.
So, what, Season 7 of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's still like 4 years away, isn't it?
The fuck? No, I think it might... Surely it's this year. Maybe it's next year.
It's 2019, buddy.
No, don't say that. Don't ruin my life.
Yeah, it's like early 2019, I'm pretty sure.
In the meantime, they need to make a fucking kick-ass Game of Thrones game.
Yep, well, they haven't done that yet. I think they've had 3 tries at it.
Yeah, really shit, I know, but... They need, like, the original... Because supposedly the original Shadows of War game was really good. Is it Shadows of War? No, it wasn't called Shadows... Whatever the Lord of the Rings game was, that was, like, really good, apparently. They need to, like, make one of those.
Shadow of War and... Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor?
Shadow of Mordor, that's the one. Was that the older one?
That's a newer one.
The new one, not so much, but the original one...
Maybe.
I saw lots of good content.
That's the name of them both. I can't remember which one's what.
Yes. Oh, no, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't really fit that style. Yeah. There's not a lot of... Yeah. Anyway. Just things I say.
Things you say. So, Eve apparently is pulling out of VR.
Yeah, and to be honest, that is old news. They actually announced that like 6 months ago, but I know the article here was a recent interview where they actually asked them about it, and, you know, I'm not surprised. Not a lot of... Like, it was really cool, and to be honest, it would have been pretty awesome, but I don't see how it would be the same awesome experience as, say, a more action-orientated space sim like EVE Online, or not EVE... EVE Online, Elite Dangerous or Star Citizen, because EVE Online, having played it, it's more of an MMO, and I think there was a different game. I don't know if it was a different game mode or if there was a different sort of mechanic they were trying to build into the VR space, but I just, to be honest, don't think it really fit what EVE is, but it would have looked, from what I saw, it looked pretty freaking awesome, but there just wasn't enough real core interest. Like, apparently they were below their lowest expectations of you know, what they were hoping.
Yeah, well, from what I can see in the interview, the guy was talking about how, like, mobile phones took 30 years to become what they are today, and he thinks VR this needs to go through that same process.
And to be honest, it probably is. I mean, it's in a bit of a, I'd say a bit of a holding pattern, right? Like, I've around at a mate's place a couple of months ago, and one of the guys brought around the HTC Vive, and shit, it was fun, right? It was freaking awesome, you know, playing around in the
Steam. It's not there to, like, whatever. Enjoy a game for hours on end, though, is it?
No, and there's no real, like, it's not, I don't think there's any real good titles that really scream out and say, let's play a full game in VR, right? There's just a lot of, like, the thing that I enjoyed the most was the thing full of mini games. Although there was this teaser of, like, a Star Wars
experience. It's at the Wii thing, Sports cool. stage of motion controllers.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit better, a little bit more advanced, I would say. But
diss the Wii Sports. That was the best thing on the Wii.
I know it was good. No, I know it was good. But what I'm saying is that I guess there's more control and there's more. I'd say it's more advanced. But yeah, it is. It's.
Well,
I guess
of course, it's more advanced. I'm just saying it's kind of the same.
Too
stage.
Early, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, how long did it take, even with the Wii, for significantly good games to come out that utilized it properly?
Exactly, like only their first party games did, and VR doesn't really have a first party push. They're relying on other devs.
While we're talking about Wii, what did you think of Skyward Sword and the gameplay?
Meh.
Yeah, I was always a bit meh about it.
I liked the flying kind of thing. Like, it was
the game. To be honest, I didn't mind the game, but I didn't enjoy playing it 100%.
Look, I'll be honest, it was a grind for me to finish. Like, I didn't finish it because I was like... With Breath of the Wild, I finished it because, like, it was so fun to play, and I kind of, like, with it being portable, I played it every day on the train until I finished it.
I sort of feel like if I finally get around to buying a Switch and getting Breath of the Wild, which I really do want to do at some stage, that I'll probably get really pissed off with the expiring weapons that
it is the worst part of the game. Yeah. It is like,
come on, just give me a, just load me up with a fucking Master Sword. Like, we've all bought the freaking the fake giant sword in Ocarina of Time and regretted it. Okay,
so we know what it's like. I bought the like the $200 collector's edition, right? It comes with a Master Sword in the hilt, or in the stone thing. So, like, you know, give me that shit. But yeah,
was it real sized or
not real sized? It's ornamental.
Oh, but I want a damn Master Sword. I want it to glow. I want it to be like, yeah.
LEDs.
LEDs, man. RGB.
Yeah. But unfortunately,
that is a negative on that front.
It is the worst weapon system I have encountered in a long time.
Slightly more on topic. Have you actually played EVE Online?
I played for like 2 months. I couldn't get into it.
I have off and on played little bits. It's funny because, like, to several friends, I over the years banged on about how fucking awesome it is, and I've gotten several people into it. One mate who I haven't spoken to for a while plays like every day and has probably played for every day. It's automated to the fact that now he doesn't actually pay for subscriptions.
Yeah,
I know it did go semi-free to play, but yeah, he'd make him enough, like all his businesses in game made enough money that like he'd just cover his license or his subscription.
See, I like the idea that you can become so entrenched in a game that other players, like that just play it as a hobby, can pay for you to play it full time. What?
Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds narcissistic or not, but like, there's some people that don't want to play it full time. They just want to play it to raid with their friends and stuff.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, and it's quite possible to do that. The problem is, if you were to start brand new right now, it's quite a commitment to I guess get to the elite level, because it's not. It doesn't matter how much you play. It's about how long your training skills. And then there's limitations to that of how many you can train at the same time and that sort of stuff. Now, they've basically made it where you can buy they've got these things that let you, like, skill up. So it's essentially like instant researching or whatever, skill points. And you can basically buy your way to high levels and stuff, essentially. Which, while not really great that you can just sort of come in and just spend a couple of $100 and like skill up and like be awesome, but I guess it does open it up for if you've got mates that have been playing for years and you want to get involved and, like, you know, get a ship that's quite capable, you can, you know, get right up there. But, you know, that's the thing. But yeah. I do enjoy the game. But yeah, it's just one I've never, and I guess I when it comes to MMOs in general, I tend to not commit 100%. Like, I'll play it for maybe a couple of months and be really into it, but then, you know, I'll pick up something else or get distracted by
I like playing kind of project story games. For me, yeah, it's playing through a story, getting really committed to that, and that kind of suits my, like, one game a month kind of thing.
Yeah, it's fair. I guess the thing is that you never really complete EVE. Right.
Yeah.
Like, even with MMOs, like, you know, like, think, you know, World of Warcraft. Right now, yes, there's loads of expansions. It's increased the level cap and increased more story.
But with every expansion, though, it pushes like the entry level. Like, so you're basically just playing the expansion. You're not playing the rest of the content before the expansion.
Yeah. Because they make it
like, if I was to go start a World of Warcraft character now, I would probably, they would boost me up, like, not make you instantly level 80 or whatever that is, but like everything's easier up until that point of the new expansion, because they want more people playing that content at the same time.
I guess they do, and I guess to another point, some people probably want to catch up. For instance, the Old Republic, I know we brushed on earlier, so they changed it up a bit so that if you, because again, to be honest,
the Old Republic is the MMO that I've played the most of, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I've got hundreds of hours on that.
I never really wanted, like, you know, it's another MMO, right? You know, what I guess what I wanted out of the Old Republic is not an MMO. I wanted KOTOR 3 because I'm a massive Knights of the Old Republic fan. I'm totally going to go and play it after this, I think, because it's freaking awesome.
I liked the Star Wars MMO. Star Wars Galaxies, I think it was.
Yeah,
it was really hard to become a Jedi. Like, it was, you didn't just start as one. You were just a random guy in the world. You could be a trader. You could, like, do lots of stuff. And you actually...
It was definitely more open, wasn't it?
Because you could, like, fly to different worlds. It was so open. Yeah, you had to get a ship, fly into space, go to other planets. That's what I want from a Star Wars. If it's going to be an MMO, that's what I want. Yeah. I don't want this instanced, like, little areas of a planet. It doesn't feel big and epic.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I didn't want an MMO, you know, like what I really want is BioWare. You're totally listening to this, is make KOTOR 3. Just make a sequel. Make it. It's what we want.
They never will.
I know they won't, but fuck, man, like, it would just be amazing. And it would be record sales because, you know, it's not that, but it would just be awesome. Okay. Just make it happen.
Make it happen?
You can make it happen, Kieran, right? You can lobby them and be like, hey, make KOTOR 3. And they'll be like, yeah, sure, Kieran, whatever you say.
I mean, I wish. It's not going to happen.
I know.
Maybe the Netherlands can do it.
Maybe. Have they banned loot boxes yet?
They haven't. So, yeah, the Netherlands, they did it in some sort of intense study into 10 games, and they found 4 of them to be breaking their local gambling rules.
I did read that. It's casinos, good. I mean, tough stance on it, right?
Yeah, casinos and all those sort of gaming things have to hold themselves to.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, and I mean, you're not even getting a thing at the end of it. Like, it's all virtual. Like, at a casino, right, you know, you get the opportunity to win money. You got money which you can spend on things, whereas, like, with loot boxes, you can get a skin. Not a pink Darth Vader skin, though, because nobody would want that. But, you know, you can get a skin and all this other useless shit, which is, again, you don't own, it's just licensed. I hate the idea.
I hate it too. People I'm compare only okay it to, like,
with the idea of microtransactions in a free-to-play game, like, you know, premium game.
Even then, it can be really bad. See, people compare it to trading cards. I'm like, with the trading card, I can trade it with someone else for one. Not all games allow you to trade the crap that you buy in those stupid loot boxes. But I can also, I'm just like, I want out. I can sell cards.
It's a material thing that has resale value.
Yeah.
Whether it's nostalgia driven or whether it's just, you know, people into collecting it, you know, it's a thing you can sell. Where, what happens when the Battlefront 2 servers get shut down in a few years' time because nobody's playing and they don't want to support it anymore? All those things you've bought, how are you going to use them? What's
there's
the worth?
I think there's a time on that now that I think it was in the EU that modders and stuff can resurrect servers after a certain time.
That's good.
If you've discontinued it, like, for X amount of time. Like, if you're still keeping the servers active,
I guess that doesn't get around people World can't Warcraft do servers, does it?
Well, that's the thing. What counts as keeping it up? Because if someone wants to play the original game they bought, not the expansion or the version that they're up to now,
yeah,
what's to say they shouldn't be able to?
Well, and I guess it comes down to, it's like abandonware, right? Like, you know, I guess sort of, a little bit different, but I guess with games these days that are all, you know, it needs the servers to be up. It's like, think of how bad it was for when GameSpy died in the arse, right? Now, some games have since released patches to enable different kind of multiplayer, but things that rely on, certain servers being operational and maintained.
I'm worried about when that happens to Steam, because it's going to happen to Steam.
Well, yeah. I feel like Steam at this point is like too big to fail in terms of like that would cause like mass hysteria. Because yeah, you're right. You only get, you're basically licensing a game. It's a lifetime license as long as the service is operational. But you're right. If Valve goes bust.
Well, it's not about them going bust. It's that their service becoming so bad that like they just don't do anything anymore. Like they just got fined in Australia for, what was it, $2.3 million. Yeah, something stupid. Because, like, yep. Their shitty refund policy?
Yeah, and I guess it's interesting because they got a bit of, like, there's a few pundits in the States that I follow on YouTube, not necessarily Jim Sterling, but that, you know, have made some commentary on it, and it's funny to hear, like, it's not really funny, it's kind of tragic that, you know, in the States, they don't have the level of consumer protection that we have. Like, you know, we've got this Australian, what was it, Consumer Commission?
Yeah, Australian Consumer Commission, I think it's just called.
That's ACCC, there's another one. But essentially, you know, they basically, they're almost to the level of being annoying, like.
Yeah, you got it right, Australian Competition and Consumer Commission.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good, though.
Really good, I know, but like, you know, to the point that if you were running a business, like, you know, you'd be so easy to get on the wrong side of them. But the fact that, you know, we've got, you know, a government body that stands up and actually, you know, is like, no, fuck you, you're going to pay us some fines. And then I guess the significance of the announcement that was made with this $3 million fine is not only were they fined, but the High Court of Australia, first off, dismissed their appeal last year, but they just this week or last week dismissed asked for time to come up with another, you know, bullshit argument or whatever to try and delay having to pay this fine, but they dismissed it and basically are enforcing that you're going to cough up $3 million. Now, they may well not pay that, but then I guess that would open up to further penalties, like they'll, you know, cut them out, which would suck for Australian consumers, but I mean, because they could... I guess that's a worrying sign, is if the ACCC... If Valve decide, fuck it, we're not going to pay that, and the ACCC make a ruling and ISPs have to block Steam or some bullshit, or Steam pulls out of Australia or something, what then happens to everybody's licenses to play the games that they bought?
I mean, it'd suck, but I also wouldn't hate it.
It wouldn't suck, and I wouldn't, in I guess, theory, hate it, but it'd hurt. I mean... So many people have their entire libraries, like myself included, have a shit ton of games on there.
I've got every game that I get now, I try and get on GOG.
I guess the reason I still primarily buy on Steam is purely just the dominance from a multiplayer perspective. Is that it's that ease. And I guess, you know, you get complacent, right? Like it's just that little bit easier that you could just right click and join a mate playing. I guess that's the deer in headlights moment we're all in. It's like, oh, Steam, oh yeah, we can just like, it's easy. But
if Steam went down right now, I think I've got about 40 or 50 games ready to play on GOG, so I'm good.
I think I can play Master of Orion.
All my Witcher series. Oh,
Hollow Knight. I've got Hollow Knight on.
Hollow Knight, Stardew Valley. I've got a bunch of other stuff. If I didn't have to update it.
Oh, so you got Hollow Knight?
I've owned it for ages. I'm not going to play it till it's on Switch. I feel like it's going to be an amazing Switch game.
But it's an amazing game as it is.
I know. Should
play it anyway.
I'm going to wait for it to be on Switch.
I'm trying to get my friend Ben to play it too, but he's waiting for Switch.
I mean, it's just going to be awesome. Speaking of Steam, another thing happened this week, which was... Oh, yeah. GOG's announcing player profiles or profiles and privacy settings, and they're updating the platform.
Essentially, they're updating the platform. Is it going to be cross to like their website and the platform where, like, you know, kind of like the Steam community or whatever, where you can, you know, update your profile, you track your game hours and all that sort of shit?
I don't, they haven't revealed what's in it. They just said that they're doing it. More detail soon. Well, I think they're just going to release it and let people discover what you can do.
Hmm.
But...
Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting. And hopefully they get a lot of positive feedback. Because to be honest, yeah, I agree with you that GOG would be the platform of choice, but it just doesn't have... I guess it's just Valve has that market share, right? It's like Google Chrome and how everybody just develops for Google Chrome because it's easier.
Hey, I like Google Chrome. tab's sake up a bit too much space.
Google Chrome's good, but to be honest, in the same vein as Valve, it's scary when you think that one company has a market share over a significant thing. Like, for instance,
It's very different for web browsers, because I can go on Firefox and still log into everything.
Unless you go to our website and you can't do the flippy things properly. Just saying.
That's actually Firefox's fault for not adhering to some of the CSS practices, though. Like, there's a standard, but do it.
It doesn't matter next release, because those are getting taken out anyways.
Yes, they are. Actually, they're just moving to another page. That's not the point here. Point is
another
GOG.
Another point. The GOG, yeah. GOG. Big company, market share, etc. But yes, look, I'm actually quite excited to see it. Is it something you had to opt into?
No, I think it just becomes available.
I might have to check it out. Because, look, I do like the GOG client. Like, I want that to take off, but then I guess there is the case of, you know, do I need to start rebuying all my games over on it at some stage?
So, if you go into GOG, they are trying to get more and more games like this with developers, that if you've got the game on Steam, you'll get the game on GOG.
Oh, okay.
I check it every few weeks. There's usually like one or two more titles.
So they're negotiating. That'd be good. GOG is DRM free, isn't it? So they're basically just a register.
That's what I was just about to bring up. So with GOG, everything is, I can download it and uninstall GOG and still play that forever. Unless it's an MMO, which, you know, is kind of out of everyone's control, because I'm an MMO being all online, because that's the point of it. I don't like single-player game being connected to a server, but an MMO, you're playing with hundreds of other people. You're not playing an MMO by yourself, unless you're that one guy nobody likes.
It's like you're that one guy in that group.
Exactly. We're going to all level our characters together, except fucking Steve here. He's been playing all night, and he's way ahead of us.
God damn it, Steve. Fuck you, Steve. We hate you, Steve. If there's any Steves out there, I'm sorry. It was just a joke.
No, it wasn't. Screw you, level gaming people.
Yes. Speaking, what's this GTA 5 premium edition bullshit?
So they finally discontinued their normal edition of GTA. And edition that's coming out is the same game with all the DLCs. So you'll still pay the $60 or whatever, but you'll get all the DLCs. They've waited for it to come out because they wanted the stocks of the original to dwindle really low, because they're an extremely stingy company.
So you need to buy it again?
No, you don't need to buy it again.
Okay.
It's just for anyone buying the game now, you'll get all the DLC and stuff.
Right, okay.
Up to what's available today. Right. But, like, the shit thing they did was they waited a while for this to come out so that the stocks would run out.
Yeah.
Because once this new one comes out, no one's going to buy an old one.
No. But what if we want GTA 5 Classic? I guess the bit bothers me is there's so many additions to this game.
I hate it with a passion. I enjoyed it when it came out. I thought the story was actually pretty well done. Mm-hmm. But them just becoming this multiplayer, disgusting...
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what it is anymore. I completely lost interest.
It was a cool concept. Like, to be honest, and I mean, I've played a few GTA Online variants in the past, like, you know, some of the open source things for, like, San Andreas. That was always a laugh. But, it's just not... It's just not good.
No,
it's festive.
I can see why some people have gone sucked in, but goddamn, not my thing.
God shit, goddamn, oh man.
Nah, not my thing. Speaking of Steam, State of Decay 2 may be on Steam. PAX East was recently, and State of Decay 2 showed that the game possibly runs on it because a Steam error came up in the game.
Hmm.
Which means, because State of Decay 2 is like Windows only kind of thing. It's made by it's sponsored or published or whatever by Microsoft Studios. Yeah. And they've really been pushing their platform. Hopefully they're giving up on that and releasing things on other platforms.
Hopefully, because the Windows Store is a bit balls.
Yeah, so I'm happy for people to try and make these sort of stores and stuff, like Origin tried, GOG came out, like, but some of them just are really bad. Like,
look, to be honest, the Microsoft Store should be better. The Microsoft Store is more in the vein of the iOS and the Apple Store. Sorry.
That's the stupid. Other thing.
What's the other thing?
That's the other thing about it, sorry, that their App Store runs over all their devices, which is what I really like about it. Because if I buy an app for the Windows Phone, let's say I had a Windows Phone. I don't even know what Windows Phones are out at the moment, but let's say I did. I could buy a game on that and it would run on the PC.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's the only thing it has that, going
I guess,
for it.
With Xbox as well. I mean,
yeah, you know, yeah, with like Xbox as well. Well, Sea of Thieves was a complete disgustingness for me because $100 price tag.
I still enjoy it, okay.
Do you know what?
I didn't buy it, though. I've just... I did the free trial, and I'm still paying the, like, $10 a month for their whatever service. I'll probably cancel that next month.
You should. That was a $30 game at best, and people who think that it was worth it... Like,
It depends on your definition of worth right now. Look, from a story content perspective or a content perspective, there's not much there, right? It is a bit short in the tooth. However, if you can get 60 plus hours playing with your friends, having a jolly great time, to me, I always weigh it up to a movie, right? Like, I used to pay $20 to go to the cinema.
This is like going to watch that movie with the kids that I didn't really want to go see.
It depends.
And whereas, I paid
like,
for it.
For me, in my experience, I've played with a variety of friends and we've all had a laugh, whether it's just like, you know, chucking someone in the brig and just vomiting on them. Like, I know it sounds weird, but, you know, had a lot of fun and probably got a good, maybe not 60, in my case, probably more like 20 plus hours. But for me... And I guess for me, I've only paid like $10 at this point. But even if I'd paid full price at $60 for it, you know what? I probably would say that I got my value out of it, even if it's just for the sake of I got a lot of lols with some mates every now and then. Whereas I've paid full price for a bunch of games in the past that I haven't touched or barely touched, you know. So
recently, I think I've got Ni No Kuni 2 was the only game I paid full price for. Mm-hmm. Like $60 full price. Like I bought lots of $10
games.
That
was $60? Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, it was worth it. It was like played it for 20 something hours. World was really awesome. Like I just enjoyed playing it. The story wasn't too deep, but with all the different mechanics and stuff, it was fun. And with the art style, it was a nice game to just kind of relax and play. It wasn't.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
It wasn't hectic and. Like, let's say I'm playing The Last of Us or Resident Evil or something, you know, that you're sitting there kind of on edge and that. But with Ni No Kuni, I could just sit back with the controller because I was playing it using a controller. And, it was fun to go through and had a lot of story hours.
Well, that's good.
It kind of reminded me of, like, my old, like, when I was a teenager playing console days.
I've got to ask, I mean, slightly off. I know it's been out for a little while, but what was that new Sonic remake that saw Sonic game?
Mania, maybe?
Yeah, that one. What did you think?
I haven't played it. I've barely looked at it. Sonic games have hurt me deeply since Sonic Adventure 1 and 2.
They may have. However, this one was made, I'm pretty sure, by a guy that made some custom... it was like a modder and he made some custom original Sonic maps. So he's like remixed them and the little bit I've played of it is like really good. Like, because it plays like a traditional Sonic game. It's just, updated look and appeal. But it's not by the original Sonic team or anything or, you know, the new Sonic team that makes all shitty games.
Yeah,
but
they make a lot of... I don't know how they've kept the...
Essentially, they from what I recall reading about it is that they essentially contracted a guy that made this sort of stuff for fun and was like, "Hey, can you just like basically make a remix Sonic's game?" And here you go. So I'd totally say it's worth a play.
I'll give it a go. Might do a cast on it.
Good man.
We'll see.
I'd watch that. You'll watch that, won't you, listeners?
Hopefully. And if you are listening, you could also check out the Ni No Kuni 2 review that I did.
Ooh, a review. You did a review? Was it online or was it... Oh, it's on your website because you have a website now.
We do have a website, which I'll post this podcast to. Yeah.
Right. Lastly, I think
we're Octopath Traveler.
Octopath. Yeah, that thing.
So they released another update. I played the demo for this.
How was that?
It was really good. Like, it was not deep, but that's because it wasn't meant to be. Like, they wanted people to test this one part. Well, not one part, but, like, essentially the setting of the game, and they wanted to take... Because, like, it wasn't like, oh, we'll release it for a beta a month before release where we have no time to actually change anything.
Yeah.
They did it, like, ages before... Because I think they did it either like January this year or late last year or something. And they just had a demo that you could play, and they wanted people to submit feedback on what they did and didn't like. I'm like, that's a beta.
So this is a Square Enix game. Has it just been published by Square Enix?
No, I think it's made by Square Enix for Nintendo and Switch. It looks really good.
Available July 13th.
So essentially there's going to be like 8 different characters you can play to get through the story. If you can play just one or you have to play all 8, because there's evil and good variants. Like, one of the guys can steal stuff and this other chick can convince anyone to buy stuff off them, essentially. And there's one that does noble things. And
it's a little bit interesting.
One that threatens people. So the different character you play allows you to do different things in the town and gain different authority and reputation. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Looks interesting.
I like the art style as well. I think it's fully voiced as well, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, I guess for games released this day and age, I like much... I got no time for reading, man. I know that's a little bit bad of me, but... You know, like, I'll always go back and play a good game like Baldur's Gate and, you know, read everything. But, you know, if it's made, it's been developed in the last couple of years, like, come on, get some voice actors.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with those games. I played Pillars of Eternity. I thought the game was really good, but they put so much bloat in it that I kind of got sick of even talking to NPCs or anything.
Yeah.
And if that was fully voiced, I think I would have thrown my screen at a wall.
At least for my, the way I see it is, so long as like the main story is voiced completely, cool. If it's something with like, if it's like an RPG with side quests and stuff, look, totally get, you know, a bit more text.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I prefer things to be fully voiced, but not to, if you're going to do it fully voiced, don't waste everyone's time with making like NPCs that like have 0 point of being there.
Yeah, like if you're gonna like tease it a bit of a backstory that you're gonna delve into, don't just like crush it and go nowhere.
Yeah, because with Pillars of Eternity as my example again, you could meet read people's minds and they would give you pages of dialogue that helped the story, like did not like at all help the story. It just not like it's like writers got paid. They're like, oh shit, we've been paid for like 20 more pages of this shit. Oh, we'll give these guys some backstory.
Fair enough.
But it was really daunting.
All the daunting.
So is there anything?
What do you think?
Sorry, you go.
The other thing I'd say is, you know, obviously maybe a bit of a shout out to Hypestrike for that awesome charity stream yesterday.
He did do. I've watched the clip of him when he hit 1,000 a few times. It's so funny. It's one of the funniest things it's the funniest thing I've seen him do. Played PUBG with him, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I played Vermintide throughout the day.
Yes, they lost their shit at me for my driving skills in PUBG.
You drove over like two of them. You were like, you were reading his chat or something. No.
He ran over someone else. He just blamed me for it.
Oh, everyone thought it was you.
Because it ended up being, he had run over somebody. Somehow he ended up being downed. No, that's right. No, he was fucking about with the car. He ran over someone who ended up dying. And then, like, I shot at him. It was like, because he nearly hit me. And he was down. And then Cinebay was like, fuck this shit, and shot him. And then I ended up headshotting him. And then me and Cinebay just took off in a car and carried on.
And left him there. Oh,
it was lots of fun.
So anything looking forward to in the gaming world that's coming up this year? I'm looking forward to Super Smash Brothers.
That looked pretty freaking awesome. Like, once I saw that glowing Smash Brothers symbol in that eye, I was like, yes.
Should be good.
Look, nothing specifically. Probably the most thing I'm excited for at the moment is Stardew Valley multiplayer. I've been pretty pumped for that, to be honest, since it first got released, because they sort of teased that there would be multiplayer in the future. So,
yeah, exactly. I think they're adding some more features to the game in general with that update as well.
And they have added, like, I haven't actually played it significantly since they added, like, different game, like, different farm types, because it used to be just one big block, where now you can have it, like, islands, you can have it, like, you know, kind of like the dark forest stuff. It's, you know, got a bit more variety to it.
I haven't played it since it first came out, to be honest, because I've been waiting for multiplayer. I might revisit it. Might do some newscast on it.
You should. It is a good game. I need to get back to it. I haven't had the time to commit to it, but we'll have to get back in there.
Yeah, I
what about
feel
you?
The same
what
for
are
me.
You excited for? I think you did say.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers for me. That's my thing this year. And Octopath Traveler, actually, because that comes out this year as well. I've only got 3 games on the Switch, but I'm loving the quality of them. Like, I haven't done any Keskar stuff with
that,
it. But
that Switch is pretty ballin.
Yeah, like, it's just what you would expect for, like, if you buy a game. That, like, it's not more than that. It's not less than that. You buy a game, you enjoy it for this many hours. It's just simple.
You get your money worth, right?
Like, and I cannot say I've had that experience with other developers and other platforms in a long time. Like, I've bought 3 games from it, right? Yeah. I've enjoyed those games thoroughly.
And you've got, like, many hours.
Yeah, exactly.
You've not bought a new game, played it for half an hour, and not played it ever again.
Exactly. And it's just nice having that type of system. Like, I know I can pick it up and be like, I'm going to play... I've only got 4 games for it, but I enjoy those 4 games more than I probably enjoy the 200 in my Steam library.
And you know what? That is pretty important. So, rocking.
Like, it is it's such a... Like, it's what I would experience when I was a teenager, or... maybe when I was a young teenager, and, like, you had to get your parents to buy you a game. And, like, they were like, you can have one this month. So it had to be a good game. Because otherwise you would have regretted that. And I've just not... Yeah, that's the kind of feeling I've had with it.
That's fair.
But,
kind of exciting. Kind of want to buy a Switch.
I think that's all the time we have. Gone for about an hour. So if you're still here, check out... I think we're playing Resident Evil on Keskar. I remember that's what's airing. So that's fun. That's scary. Well, I wouldn't say it's scary. It's so far, it's creepy and had some jump scares, but they designed the jump scares really well. I'll explain after you say your bit.
Oh, awesome. What I was going to say is, you know, if I happen to be just picking this up on iTunes podcast because I thought, hey, this looked cool, how can I find Keskar stuff?
I was going to bring that up, but you can go to the website, which is keskar.com, or our YouTube. You can just search Keskar. Or search Keskar on any of your podcasty things, but if you're already listening, you probably found it, so
you would sort of hope so, wouldn't you?
You never know. People find things in weird ways.
Yeah. Some dodgy, like, Chinese copy site that has it there under its name. I don't know.
It's got Chinese subtitles somehow.
They really like your podcast, okay?
I would laugh so hard. But what I was saying about Resident Evil, like... So in those types of games, I think it's just people's reactions. Like, if you come out of a door, you check left, you check right, and then you move forward. Yeah. So there was a game, you checked one way, and you're like, that's not the way to go. So I'll check the other way, and you kind of move forward. But as you're moving and turning around to check that second way, that's when they jump scare you. You thought you've checked. Because I came out of a door, I checked left, I'm like, oh yeah, that's one way to go. Checked right, dead end, went back to left, and the chick was there. I was like,
oh,
they did that well.
I'm bad with jump scares. I just,
Caitlin's not good with them either.
Like, even going back and playing Doom 3, I can get all jump scared at, even though I know where they're all coming because I've played that game through like twice.
My challenge for you, Inferno Panda, is to play Resident Evil 7.
Then I gotta go and buy it.
Yeah.
Is it even on PC?
Yes, it is. I don't
have that excuse. Okay.
All the Resident Evils are on PC. But how can people find you, Inferno Panda? What do you do? What are you bringing to the table these days?
Oh, I do nothing. I'm just some weirdo who happens to work with you. So you felt obliged that you had to include me, given you had an opening. No, I do stuff. Also the intention to do some cool creative stuff, but that's all to be continued. But basically just on Twitter, Inferno Panda with a 3 instead of an E.
I'll put it in the description because people that use numbers instead of letters infuriate me.
It does make it hard to me.
Yeah, they'll say the name and I'll be like, okay, where am I putting the 3? Is it this E, that I?
Ben just says in 3-0 Panda or something like that. I have, to be honest, been thinking about changing my good old internet alias of some description. Certainly because, like, you know, obviously I want to start up my YouTube channel and stuff, and I don't really want to just do, like, Inferno Panda stuff. I want to, I don't know, do something a bit more interesting. But, yes, anyway, for the time being, that's where I am, essentially.
I'm probably going to put a guest section up on the website, which I'll put you on once you get your stuff sorted out.
Oh, so privileged.
You should feel privileged.
On your WordPress site. Cool.
Hey, it works now. When I have the time, I will be changing it. It's just goddamn time right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I can't talk because I haven't even opened Visual Studio in like 6 weeks, maybe.
And you keep doing infrastructure stuff instead of content.
I haven't done anything. I've been buying cameras and green screens and all sorts of shit. But, you know, one day I'll do something interesting. I'm going to rebuild my computer. I say rebuild my computer. I'm building a new computer with new bits. CPU and motherboard got shipped today, so hopefully they'll get here tomorrow. Be fantastic.
That'd
anyway,
be awesome.
That's enough about my shit. Move on.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Again, check us out, KesCast. Check out Inferno Panda. He'll have some beautiful stuff coming out, I'm sure, soon.
Maybe.
And check us next week. We'll be back. Caitlin will be back because she'll be excited to tell you all about her week off.
Lovely. Thanks for having me, dude.
No problem. Thanks for helping out. All right. See you, everyone.
Bye.